This year, as we've already seen with the short video, this is World Development Appeal, and the focus this year is on Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo and Zimbabwe. And on your seats there are some envelopes, and there's an information leaflet which just talks about some of the work. The World Development Appeal is it's an annual one that we support in PCI. And much of the work that goes on in development is not about instant results, but rather it is about effecting long-term change. It is all done in the name of Christ. And it's done with a Christian desire to care for and to contribute to us what Jesus has called us to whenever he has called us to be disciples, that we would care for and contribute to what others are doing for those that are in a much more vulnerable position than we are. Who did Jesus care for? Jesus was the ultimate carer. Jesus was the ultimate change agent. Jesus was the ultimate development worker. That is what we too are called to be. We're not to just sit here in our comfortable homes with our central heating, with our clean running water, with food on our tables, with an education system, a healthcare system, a justice system, policing and security infrastructure, not just one car in most of our homes, but multiple cars. We are called as Christians to love and care for those who do not have what we have. In contrast, if we look at the ladies of Zoom that we watched in that video, we see a very different world. We see a very different experience for women, for children, for babies. And here we've heard of what Action N Trade, who are a partner of Tear Fund, have been doing to equip women. These are women who have suffered the consequence of not being able to get to the hospital when they have gone into labour. But now they've planted a cabbage field. Something so simple to so many of us. But in planting that cabbage field, that field now provides them with income. It's a steady income that goes towards the fund that enables the transport, the healthcare for pregnant mothers. The women took it upon themselves to do something about their circumstances. They took the initiative. They found it in themselves to do something. And you see, that brings us to that passage that was read for us by Ben and Andrew from Exodus. It's a passage that we all know very well, but most of us read it through the lens of learning about Moses. But for a minute or two, let's turn it on its head. The Israelites have been in Egypt for hundreds of years. They have been put upon. Where they were once really welcome guests, they have overstayed their welcome. They are now the oppressed people. The Israelites are people whose story is very different from the one of their ancestors and Joseph whenever they arrived. Because the king of Egypt, he is unhappy. And so he wants all of the baby Israelite boys to be killed. But God used those Hebrew midwives. Those Hebrew midwives who knew how their people were being oppressed, how they were being abused by the Egyptians. And rather than kill the boys and save the girls as the king had wanted, the Hebrew midwives opposed that oppression and abuse. They didn't give in to what had been commanded by the Pharaoh, that Egyptian king. They defied the king. They did something about the situation. They weren't prepared to just let it happen. And if we go back to the first few verses before we read in Exodus verses 6 and 7, we see God's faithfulness to the Israelites. How his care and provision had led to them multiplying. This is what it says. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites, were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly. They increased in numbers and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. God had been faithful to the Israelites, just as he had promised them that he would be. No doubt some of you will have noticed that these midwives, these Hebrew midwives, well, they were, let's just say, a bit careful with the truth when they were challenged by the Egyptian king. But let's not get the wrong idea here. God didn't bless them because those Hebrew midwives bent the truth when they were speaking to Pharaoh. No, God blessed them because the Hebrew midwives feared God much more than they feared the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. What does this tell us? What are the implications for us in this passage, especially as we think of it in the context of the World Development Appeal and Congo? Well, God has blessed the women who took that initiative in Zumbe. He's blessed them as they've set up that market garden, enabling the midwives to provide better care for the unborn child, for the mothers. What about us? Well, Action Entrade, that local partner for Tear Fund, they were the ones who provided the support to help the ladies to set up the garden in the first place. Yes, it took initiative by the women, but it also relied on the financial support coming from Tear Fund. Well, I think as we watch that video, how many of us are truly grateful for the medical care that we have on our own doorstep? At worst, we have to go 15 miles to the Royal or the City. Compare this to the 3 hours over bumpy roads that it takes for a motorbike taxi to get a pregnant mum to hospital. Let us give thanks for the medical care that we have this morning. So let's just take a moment to pray now, and then we'll come back to this in a second. Lord, we give thanks for your provision in our lives, for the medical care that we have on our doorsteps. And even though we give off and complain, Lord, we know that we have a wonderful medical system. We give thanks for those in our own fellowship here in Legacurry that work in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, care assistants, those in administration. We ask especially that you will encourage them when they get frustrated by the system. Remind them of the love and compassion they have for caring for others. And as we give thanks for the care that we have here, we pray for the women in the village of Zumbe, how they have, just as the midwives did in that passage in Exodus, taken the initiative to find a better way of supporting and providing care for pregnant mothers. Lord, we rejoice that babies and mothers' lives have been saved as a result of this care. We pray for the cabbage field, the aubergines, that provide income to support a taxi service to the hospital. And Lord, we ask that that harvest from the cabbages, the aubergines, that field will be good so that more lives can be saved. Amen.
Ta promesse, accomplir ton œuvre dans les cours des années, manifeste-la.
One of the other stories deals with a young woman called Hope that we have just heard singing. Hope was kidnapped and suffered extreme violence. Hope was a Christian at the time of her kidnapping, and at the time of that violent abuse that she suffered. At one stage after being kidnapped, Hope believed that she was going to die. And after calling out to God, she heard God speak to her. "My daughter, I am with you. knowing and having that confidence that God was with her, that God had not abandoned her when she was in that moment of despair and fearing that her life would be taken, that she would be killed by her captors. Hope boldly spoke, and she challenged the militia, her captors.
I told them, even if you are going to kill me, I am going to tell you one thing.
Nikamwambia Mungu anabapenda sana. Eske munajua sa Mungu anabapenda?
I told them, do you know that God loves you very much?
Ah, bakaniambia, eske Mungu atatupenda ai?
They told me, how will God love us?
Sema pana Mungu anabapenda sana mimi nabambia.
I told them, no, God loves you.
Nikamwambia sasa Mungu anabapenda mehapendi ile bitu Mungu naye mko nafanya.
I told them that God loves you, but he doesn't love what you are doing.
God loves you, but he doesn't love what you are doing. She told them, please do everything you can, but don't let God find you this way. God clearly gave hope strength in the midst of difficult circumstances to be bold in her faith. Because she has and knows a hope. She knows God's deep, penetrating love, his grace and mercy in her life. And as she challenged these men, they fell silent. And after some time, the leader of the militia told them to set her free. He called her a witch. She was no witch. She was and is a child of the loving, compassionate, caring God. And so Hope was released. She got away and made it to hospital where she got treatment. Hope still struggles with what she experienced. The violence at the hands of violent men. Men who were using their power, their position to put her down, to use her for their own evil purposes. And we read in that passage of the evil of Pharaoh, how he tried to assert and use violence to control people for his selfish benefit, with no care for the people that he was inflicting violence on. God dealt with Pharaoh. He dealt with Pharaoh and the evil that was inflicted on God's people, the Israelites, with those plagues of blood, frogs, gnats, plagues of flies, livestock, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and that final plague, the death of the firstborn of all the people and cattle of Egypt. But the Israelites, they were spared. This points us to Jesus. When another cruel and evil and selfish ruler, Herod, he ordered the death of the male children after Christ was born. Back in Egypt, with those Israelites that we read about in Exodus, those Israelites, they were spared that final plague when they had a sacrificial lamb. We too have redemption. We too are spared through Christ's death on a cross. Christ was without blemish, just as that sacrificial lamb had been without blemish for the Israelites. Those evil men that inflicted such violence on that girl, Hope, they will be judged by God. They will be held accountable by God for their actions. We too will be judged by God and held accountable. Yes, when we have Christ, we are forgiven. But we will have to account. That's what Paul reminds us in Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. As we think of this girl, Hope, and the hope that she has in Christ, We also need to see and acknowledge the widespread systematic violence that has taken place throughout history. It still takes place in this world. We've all watched and seen in recent weeks the revelations about sexual harassment and abuse in our society. It is wrong. It is morally wrong. It is wrong in God's eyes. What has and continues to take place. But let us remind ourselves, when God created man, he also created woman. And why? Because Adam needed another human being. Another human being with whom he could share fellowship. Someone with an equal share in God's image. Eve was someone who was similar enough that they could share and that they could have companionship. And yet they were different enough for a relationship. A relationship that was planned and ordained by God. This wasn't to be a relationship of violence and abuse. Rather, it was a relationship that was centered in love. And love that has meaning because of the relationship between man and woman and God. Now, the Development Appeal this year lifts up voices of people who might normally find it hard to have their voices heard in this world. This appeal this year, it highlights the need to put gender justice at the heart of sustainable development in societies around the world. As Christians, our calling is to respond, to ensure that there is justice in this world, that there is justice for those who are evil and that seek to dominate others. But we are also, as Christians, to live and be aware that in this diverse world, we are one in Christ. We share that same flesh with all other humans, the same flesh that Christ had when he lived on earth. Let me bring this all together to finish. As I watched these videos, read about the ladies in Zoom, listened to Hope's story, as I read that passage in Exodus and some others, I put into the equation all that is going on with these sexual harassment stories with Harvey Weinstein and all of the others. People who right now are abusing and using positions of power to abuse people under their influence. Let me make it very real for all of us. This week, as we go out into this world, think about how you treat others. This clearly includes me. Husbands, are you using your power and authority to threaten or to get your own way with your wives or children? Women, are you doing likewise, doing the same, using your power, whatever that is, to get your way with your husband or children? Are we doing the same in work? If we're a boss, are we abusing our position with younger, more junior staff or staff of the opposite sex? Young men, boys, it applies to you too. At school, do you act in a way that is appropriate? Girls, do you move in packs, exert pressure on other girls to behave or do things that are wrong? This week, let each of us consider our behaviour. Are we acting as Christ would want us to? Are we acting in a way that brings glory to the name of Jesus? Finally, this week, take the envelopes for World Development Appeal. Prayerfully consider what you have and how you can give to those who don't have, to those who live lives so much more precarious than ours will ever be. And give in the name of Christ, loving others as Christ loves you.
You know, when we suffer, we think God is away from us.
Tunawazaka tu Mungu, hapa Mungu akose hanipendi na haiko.
And when we go through trials, we say, God is not here. God doesn't love me.
Pana Mungu iko.
No, God exists. He's there.
Niliona Mungu.
I saw God.
Dani super porte kenye uko napitia parce que yangu ilikuwa vile. Watu iko napitia ma difficulté mbalimbali. Mais uyue kusema Mungu iko pamoja na wewe.
Whatever you are going through, know that God is with you.
Na tusikate tamaa.
Let's not lose hope.
Malgré difficulté, tusikate tamaa, Mungu iko pamoja.
Whatever happens, do not lose hope.
Haiko kusema ile ndio mwisho ya maisha yetu.
The suffering is not the end of our lives.
Kuko kitu ya mzuri nye Mungu iko natayarisha mbele.
There are better things that God is preparing for us.
Je crois à ce Dieu-là.
I believe in that God.
Mungu kweli Mungu ananipenda na leo niko hai.
God loves me a lot.
Mungu ananipenda ni kweli kabisa.
It's true, he loves me.
Kama niko hai, kama ninatembea, kama leo niko nacheka, ninakuwa katikati ya watu, kwa mimi ni miujiza kabisa.
I am alive, I am healthy, I smile, and for me that is a miracle.
Merci beaucoup.
Oh Dieu, miraculeuse, viens accomplir ta promesse, toi qui es fidèle. Personne n'est comparable à toi. Tu es mon espoir, ma confiance, à toi je me confie. Tu es mon espoir, ma confiance, à toi je me confie.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we learn from Scripture that you are Lord of all. You're a God of holy love, and that those who belong to you are called to live in a fitting manner, ways that befit the name to be called children of God. Lord, we give thanks for Christ, his grace, truth, and Lord, we worship and we thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who shapes our lives in ways that we don't even understand. We express our gratitude for that, Lord. Lord, for the mysterious work of your providence in our lives, how you bless us beyond what any of us deserve. And Lord, we worship and we bless you in return. And yet, Lord, there is much in this world that we still don't fathom. For as we consider our own lives or ponders the ways of this complex world, we can't help wondering why things are as they seem to be. Why, we ask, do nature's forces turn so savagely, cause such havoc to innocent people that are caught in their path? Why is it that the poor, who already have so little, are further impoverished by the unfair markets of global trade? Why can't we feed the hungry millions when enough is produced to share around? Why is it that illness causes such misery or circumstances rob us of a happy future? Why, Lord, is there such vicious humanity, bloodshed on our streets, the horrors of war, the poison or pettiness that trips from our tongues? Lord, by your Spirit, prompt us to listen more carefully, to discern more prayerfully your ways that you have taught us in your word, the Bible. And we pray, Lord, for those whose context is very different from our own. Those whose stories are too strange or sad for us to fully appreciate. May Christ's passion nurture our compassion, that those in those precarious places, that they would know your love, your care, and that, Lord, the resources that they so dearly need would reach them. We ask this in your name. Amen.